Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our prayer meeting tonight. Has anyone got a favourite hymn you'd like to sing? Just shout out the number, please. 320. 320 in your hymn book. 320 in the hymn book. 320. On page 306. I am redeemed, O praise the Lord, my soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me. The hymn number 320 is a wonderful hymn of testimony, reminding us of what Christ has done for us. Verse 3 there says, the debt is paid, my soul is free, and by his mighty power the blood that washed away my sin still cleanseth every hour. And this is something to rejoice in as the people of God, and the power of the blood to wash and to cleanse away our sins, not only for time, but for all of eternity. 320, the page 306, standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. just look to the Lord in prayer, praying for that sense of the Lord's presence, the Lord's nearness, that we might have a hallowed and a blessed time tonight around his word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we gather, Lord, before thee this evening hour, and we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the one who has shed his blood for us, the one who has redeemed us from the bondage of sin. And we thank thee for that glorious liberty that we have in Christ. We thank thee for the great truth of this hymn of which we've been singing, that the blood of Jesus Christ thy Son still cleanseth every hour. And Father, we thank thee that this is our portion in Christ tonight. We thank thee that as the people of God we have been redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And Father, we thank thee tonight as thy people we can rejoice in the great blessing of our sins forgiven. We thank that Christ has paid the debt of our sin in full. We thank thee for pardon for sin. We thank thee that through the blood of Christ we've been saved from the wrath to come, saved from judgment and from a lost eternity. And Father, we thank thee that because of Christ and his shed blood, the fact that he died, that he rose again victorious, we can look forward to heaven, look forward to glory, to that time even as the hymn writer spoke of when they said they would cast their crown at Jesus' feet. Father, we thank that this is our great hope, a hope that has been purchased for us and that is secure by the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight that we're debtors to thy grace and debtors to thy mercy. And O God, we just thank thee for thy loving kindness. We thank thee for looking upon us in grace when we had no thought or care of thee. We thank the Lord for opening up our hearts and our minds to see our need of Christ. We thank thee for that time in our own life's experience when thou didst save us and bring us into the family and fold of God. And we thank thee that thou hast never failed us. And we thank thee that thou art one that faileth not. And Father, we thank thee that we can look forward as thy people one day to being with Christ, which is far better. And, O God, we just pray tonight that thou wilt bless our coming together here in this prayer meeting. We thank thee for all who have been able to gather with us tonight. And, Lord, our prayer is that thou wilt draw near by thy Holy Spirit. And, Lord, abide with us tonight. We thank thee for the promise of thy word that thou said that if we draw nigh unto thee, thou hast said, I will draw nigh unto you. Do cleanse our hearts afresh and prepare our hearts this night to meet with thee. Help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth, O God. And Lord, take away every distracting thought and care that is not of thee. And Lord, even may our portion tonight be like Mary of old, who sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, who heard his word, who chose that good and blessed portion. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God. Meet the need of all our hearts and all our lives, we pray. We thank thee that thou hast grace sufficient for our every need. And Father, we pray that thou wilt strengthen us each one with might by thy Spirit, O God, in the inner man. Remember all our homes and all our families with all their different needs and cares. We pray that thou wilt bless and meet every need. And Father, most importantly of all, we pray that thou wilt unite our family circles in the Lord. We are mindful of those unable to join with us tonight, Lord, because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt touch them and strengthen them and raise them up, O God, we pray. And for others in hospital, Lord, may they know thy healing touch upon them. And Lord, strengthen them out of Zion by the mighty hand of the Lord. And others who have suffered loss in recent times, give comfort and grant them to know thy blessing and thy grace to be upon them, we pray. We just thank thee for the children's meeting tonight and Tresna, for all the boys and girls that have heard your word there, we pray. Bless thy word, apply it to their young hearts and young lives. We pray that each and every one of those children will come to know the Lord and to trust him and to follow on to serve him and to live for him, O God, we pray. O Lord, bless us, we pray, as a church, as a congregation. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast promised in thy word that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Bless her witness and her testimony, Lord, in this community and indeed further afield. And we pray that by the light of thy word that goes forth from this house in many forms and in many ways, we pray that thou wilt use it, Lord, to reach others with the gospel. Bless our land, O God, tonight we pray. Remember other prayer meetings such as this and gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time. Do bless every special effort. Remember thy servants there and that mission especially in Park Noor. May your hand of blessing be upon them there, we pray, as they would cast out the gospel net even tonight. May there be those that will seek the Lord and call upon the Lord for salvation. We thank thee that thou art the God who saves. And thou hast said in thy word that thine ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear. Neither is thine arm shortened, that it cannot save. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou art one who saves. And we're looking to thee, O God, as have mercy, Lord, upon our land, upon our nation. And that, Lord, many, by thy spirit and power and grace, would come to know the Lord and to trust him as their Savior. Bless us now, we pray, do our hearts much good. Pour out thy spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Bless us around your word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Speak to us, Lord. Help us tonight to pray. Pour upon us the spirit of grace and supplications, we pray. And may we leave this meeting house tonight knowing, Lord, that we've met with thee, knowing, Lord, that we've heard thy voice. And, Lord, be pleased in mercy and in grace, O God, to answer prayer for the glory, Lord, of thy name. Bless us now, we pray, as we continue on before thee. For we do pray and do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, to Acts chapter 17. We're reading some verses from that chapter. And then we're turning also over to 1 Thessalonians and to the chapter number 1. So if you'd like to mark both those passages, we'll be looking at them tonight. Acts chapter 17, verse 1, and then turning over to 1 Thessalonians and the chapter 1. And while you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us tonight. We bid you welcome. We pray the Lord will bless you around God's word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Do remember the meetings here over the weekend in your prayers. The children's meeting Friday night, 6:30. And then the youth fellowship on Friday night at 8 p.m. Be much in prayer for those meetings. And then the services on the Lord's Day, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. The morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. We'll be long to bring God's word. Remember the communion season as well after the morning meeting. And then also next Monday evening as well, the monthly ladies fellowship meeting. And our sister, Mrs. Elaine Power, will be long to bring God's word. So do remember all these meetings in your prayers and pray for God's blessing and grace to be poured out upon them. Acts chapter 17 and the verse number 1. It says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things.
And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed also of honourable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. They departed. And then turning over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we just want to read the first verse of that chapter. It says, Paul and Silvanus, that's another name for Silas, and Timotheus, or Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 1, and the Lord add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Our text, you'll find there in that opening verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just consists of five words there in the second line of that verse, where it simply says, the church of the Thessalonians, the church of the Thessalonians. Now, there are many today in our society, and they have little time for the Bible. Indeed, their argument is that the Bible is outdated and the Bible is old-fashioned. Well, such thinking is completely wrong. Indeed, the psalmist, speaking of God's word, tells us the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the Bible, yes, is God's inspired word. It is inerrant, it is eternal, and it is infallible, and it is a book that is right up to date. Yes, it is a book that is most relevant for the problems of today and the problems that people encounter in their life on a daily basis, highlighting the importance, indeed the value, of the Word of God. A certain university professor once said these words. He said, I believe a knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without a Bible. And people, whenever we come to study any part of the Scriptures, it's vital that we remember that the Bible is relevant, that the Bible is up to date. And that relevance, it applies to our lives personally and individually. It applies to our families. It applies to our homes. It applies to our employment, our vocation in life. It applies to our education. It applies to our church and God's work. It applies to our nation. Indeed, it applies to all the nations of the world. And the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians in particular, these were two epistles written by the Apostle Paul in the early part of his ministry in the New Testament. And the major theme of both these books for God's people is godly living in the light of persecution and also in the light of Christ's certain return. Yes, throughout the eight chapters of both those epistles, there are many references to the trials of God's people, the return of Christ, and living a holy life. And people, can I say that this theme is especially important to you and I as believers in our everyday life? Yes, we too live in a world that is no friend to grace, a world where there are trials and persecutions for the child of God. Yes, we too still are awaiting the glorious return of Jesus Christ when he comes back again in power and in great glory. We too are to live holy, godly lives as Christians. We are to be as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Therefore, in these two letters of Paul to the church at Thessalonica, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, there's much to encourage, much to help, much to guide you and I as believers in our Christian life. And tonight, really, in our introductory study to these two epistles, I just want us to notice two things in particular tonight regarding the church at Thessalonica. First of all, I want you to notice with me the circumstances surrounding the establishment of that church. And turn back to Acts chapter 17, and there you see something of the circumstances surrounding the establishment of the church at Thessalonica. Now, Thessalonica is a city that still exists today in the land of modern Greece. But here in Acts chapter 17, we read of the Apostle Paul coming to that city during his second missionary journey. And this was in response to God's call in his life to go to Macedonia, which was a province of ancient Greece, and that province had bordered the Aegean Sea. And Thessalonica was a coastal city of that province. And we read of that call in particular to Paul and his response to that call back there just in Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. Look at what it says. It says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." And here we see how the Apostle Paul, he was obedient to the call of God in his life. And brethren and sisters in Christ, if you and I, yes, if we are to be blessed of God, if we are to be used of God, then we too must ever be obedient to God's call and God's will for our lives as Christians. Romans 12, verse 2, it tells us that the will of God is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. And it was in response to the call of God that Paul goes to this place, Thessalonica. And if you look at Acts chapter 17, the opening verses of that chapter, you'll see there how Paul spent three Sabbath days in that city, ministering the gospel, ministering the word of God. Look at verse 2 and verse 3 of Acts chapter 17. Here you read of him going to the synagogue in Thessalonica. And it says in verse 2, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that is this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ." He preached the gospel. He preached the word of God. The result was that God blessed in the salvation of souls. You see that in the next verse, verse 4, it says, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few." And God blessed his word and God saved souls. And if you go down to the next verse, verse number 5, you read there of unbelieving Jews, and they stir up trouble and opposition for Paul and his fellow laborers in that city. It says in verse 5, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." And there was that opposition to Paul and his fellow laborers through these unbelieving Jews. And the result is that Paul and his friends, that they leave Thessalonica and they go to Berea. And you see that in verse 10 of the chapter. It says, "And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Who coming thither went in to the synagogue of the Jews." And after this, the Apostle Paul, he goes to Athens, and from Athens he goes on to Corinth. And it is at Corinth that he writes his two letters to the Thessalonian church. Yes, we can say that Paul's ministry in Thessalonica, it was a very brief ministry. We're just told that he preached for 3 Sabbath days, but it was a most blessed ministry. For it was there that the Lord establishes a church and establishes a witness through the ministry of God's servant, the Apostle Paul. These really are the circumstances surrounding the foundation of the church at Thessalonica. And in these circumstances, dear people, in the establishment of this church, there are a number of vital lessons for us as believers. The first lesson that we see here is that the Lord uses people. Yes, the Lord could have sent a band of heavenly angels down into that city of Thessalonica to evangelize and spread his word, but he does not. He chooses Paul. He sends Paul and his companions to spread his word. And who was Paul? Paul was just a sinner saved by grace. In fact, the Bible tells us he was the chiefest of sinners. Yet here you read how God used him and others with him. That reminds us, dear people, of the lesson that God uses people. And people, can I say this is still God's plan for evangelizing the world today. The Lord still uses his people for this purpose. And believer in Christ tonight, remember this, the Lord has saved you, and he has saved you for this particular purpose, because the Lord says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. He saved you, believer, to use you to be a witness for him in your daily life, day by day. But then the second lesson that we see here also regarding the circumstances around the establishing of this church is that God uses the gospel to save souls. You look at Acts 17, verse 3. There you have Paul preaching the gospel. It says he was opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And it says, and some of them believed. And there we see how God uses the gospel to save souls. What do we read in Romans chapter 1? We're told there that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What was the great command of Christ and the commission that he gave to his disciples? It was this: go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And people, as individuals, indeed as a church, we must ever support the gospel, and we must ever proclaim the gospel. Any church or any minister that does not preach the gospel is failing in their duty to the souls of men and women perishing in sin. Oh, people tonight, see the truth here that God uses the gospel to save souls. Notice another lesson here regarding the establishing of this church. We see here how Satan always stirs up opposition to God's servants and God's people who faithfully witness for Christ. You see, Satan himself was the author of this persecution against Paul and his fellow laborers. And Christian, learn from this tonight. Don't think it a strange thing, believer, whenever you are opposed for witnessing for Christ and for serving the Lord in your life as a Christian. Don't think this is a strange or unusual thing. No. This was so here with Paul and his companions. It was so with Christ himself, and it shall be so with all God's people right to the very end of the world. Turn with me back there to John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. And look at what Christ says here to his disciples in verse number 20. He says in John 15, verse 20, he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And there the Lord was warning the disciples, don't think it a strange thing. Don't be overwhelmed by this thing. Don't be overcome when the world persecutes you and opposes you as you witness for Christ and serve the Lord and proclaim the gospel. And dear people, the world hasn't changed. Christian, don't count it a strange thing when you're opposed and hindered for being a Christian, witnessing for Christ and serving the Lord and doing the will of God. Yes, we see the circumstances surrounding the establishing of this church. But not only do we see the circumstances surrounding the establishing of this church, notice secondly here with me tonight the purpose of Paul's letters to the Thessalonian church. What was the purpose behind his letters to this church? Well, we can say that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians to assure them of his Christian love for them. You see, because of persecution, Paul had to leave this church with haste. And no doubt there are those that would have questioned Paul's burden, Paul's concern for the people at Thessalonica. As Paul writes to them here in these letters, he writes to reassure them of his love, his concern, and his burden for them. That's very evident from what he says in the opening verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and again in the following verse, verse number 2, look at the words that he uses, and you'll see that. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And it's very evident there from those words and the language that he uses that Paul was a man who had a burden, a concern, and a love in his heart for this people at Thessalonica to whom he writes these letters. And child of God, this is the example that you and I also as Christians are to follow. Yes, we are to have a compassion, a concern, a love in our heart for all God's people, for his work and for his church. This is something Christ commands us to do and to have as his people. Turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 13, and look at the words of Christ there to his disciples. John chapter 13, very well known passage of Scripture, verse 34 and verse number 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another, and by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And it's a mark of our discipleship. It's a witness that we belong to the Lord. The believer having a love and a burden and a concern in their heart for God's people and for the church of Christ and for the people of the Lord. And yes, Paul, he wrote here to these Thessalonians to assure them of his Christian love for them. But we see also here that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians to ground them as believers who are young in their faith, to ground them in their faith. You turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, over just to a few pages there, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at what he says to them in verse number 15 of that chapter. He says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. No doubt pressure was being put upon these Christians. They were just young converts, young in the faith. Pressure was being put upon them to turn back, to turn away from following the Lord and serving the Lord. And here Paul counsels them, it's by the word of God that they would be strengthened and they would stand fast in the day of persecution and in the day of battle. And believer in Christ tonight, yes, it's by the reading of God's word, it's by the preaching of God's word that we too as believers are strengthened in our faith. And Christian, always remember that the word of God, the scriptures, the Bible, that is your spiritual food. That is the nourishment for your heart and soul as a believer. You remember the words of John as he writes to Christians, and in particular they were young Christians, and he said these words to them in 1 John 2 verse 13. He says, I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. It was by the word of God dwelling richly in their hearts that they were strengthened, that they were encouraged in the Christian life. And that is why Paul writes here, to assure them of his love, to ground them and establish them in the faith, and how the word of God is so important in that regard. Also, we see here how Paul, he writes to the Thessalonians to encourage holiness and purity of life in an evil world and an evil city. You look at what he says to them there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 7. He says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And believer, this was God's will for the Christians in Thessalonica in the day of the Apostle Paul. And this is still God's will for his people today. And this is God's will for our lives as Christians in this ungodly world and in this ungodly age. The Lord says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Remember the words of Paul to Timothy. He said, "Keep thyself pure." And Christian, our standard for holy living is not the world. It's not the media. It's not the BBC. It's not the government. It's not anything of self or of man. Our standard for holy living in this world, in this scene of time, is Christ and the word of the Lord, God's own precious word. And this was one of the motives behind Paul writing to these believers, that they might bear a holy testimony for the Lord in the city of Thessalonica. Something else we see also here, that Paul, he writes to these Thessalonians to keep before them the Lord's return, and also to encourage them to have a right perspective regarding the return of Christ. You notice in particular there how Paul makes mention of Christ's return right at the very end of the first chapter of the first epistle. Look at how verse 10 begins of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says to them, "And to wait," he says, "for his Son from heaven." He was speaking to them there specifically about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, throughout his first letter to the church at Thessalonica and the second letter, Paul has much to say to these people regarding the return of Christ. Yes, there was confusion among them regarding this glorious doctrine of Christ's return, and Paul here seeks to guide them aright regarding this great hope, this certain hope for the church of Christ. And dear people of God, in this life, in all that goes on around us in the world, we must ever remember as Christians that the Lord is coming back again, that the Lord is soon to return. The Bible says, "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." I don't know if it's still there, but oftentimes as you drive through the little village of Moira, as you come off the motorway, there was a wall, and those words were painted on it. "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." That's what we must remember as Christians in this world and everything that is going on, that the Lord is coming back again. And how we live as Christians and all that we say and do is to be fashioned, is to be governed by the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bible over there to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and the latter part, the middle part of that chapter, is about the return of Christ. And just look at verse number 11. Notice what Peter says there, and it's all in light of the return of Christ. He says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" And as Paul writes to these believers in Thessalonica, he wants them to keep this great truth before them, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again, coming in power, coming in glory. And that's the truth, dear people, we must ever keep before us as Christians in this world. "The coming of the Lord draweth nigh." During one of his expeditions to the Antarctic, Ernest Shackleton had to leave some of his party behind on Elephant Island. This was due to severe ice and frost and coldness. And whenever Shackleton returned to rescue that party, they were packed and they were ready to go without a moment's delay. And the reason for this was that each day they were expecting and they were looking for Shackleton to return for their rescue to deliver them at that time. And child of God, just as those men were expecting their friend to return, so dearly you and I as believers are to be looking for and expecting the sure return of Christ, our Savior and our friend. The Bible says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." That's something we must keep before us day by day as the people of God, that our Lord is coming back in power and in great glory. May the Lord bless his word and these truths to our hearts and to our souls this evening. Well, maybe just turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 154, just before we get down to our time of prayer. 154 in your hymn book. Hymn writer says, I'm waiting for thee, Lord, thy beauty to see, Lord. I'm waiting for thee, for thy coming again. Thou art gone over there, Lord, a place to prepare, Lord. Thy home I shall share at thy coming again. A great hymn about the return of Christ. We'll stand as we sing, and let us sing it out heartily unto the Lord. Let us stand as we sing. Get down to our time of prayer, and let us just look to the Lord tonight for his help and blessing. Just some prayer requests I want to share with you. Do please pray for the services over the weekend, pray for the meetings and also the communion time as well, and the ladies meeting this Monday night. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray that God's people will be blessed and the Lord will be pleased in his mercy and grace to gather in new and young families amongst them. Do please remember the sick in your prayers. Sister Mrs. Audrey Stewart went through surgery today, and all I understand has gone well, so do remember her in your prayers. You'll know the Lord's healing touch. Young Mr. David Medill also had a serious accident on Sunday past. Do pray for him, that he know the Lord's healing touch upon him. And then do also pray for Brother Mr. George Scott, who is unwell, as you know. George came to the Lord last week, trusted the Lord as Saviour, but he's unwell, and he's asked you to pray for him, that he know God's help and grace at this time, and others as well who are unwell and shut in Just pray that they'll know the Lord's help. Remember the mission with our brethren up there in Park Noor, that they know God's help, and that even following the mission out in Springfield, that there would be fruit. And remember the Easter Convention meetings as well coming up. Pray for those and our land, and remember our missionaries as well at home and abroad, that God's hand of blessing will be upon them. So encourage as many as possible to pray, to seek the Lord, and let us look to the Lord in faith for God's help and blessing in all these matters, and whatever else the Lord lays upon our hearts as the Lord leads us in the time that is left right through to about 20 past nine or so. Encourage as many as possible to pray. Maybe ask our brother Stanley to lead us off in prayer, and then maybe also our brother Mr. John Dean, and then one after the other as the Lord leads us in the time that's left. Brother Stanley, and then John, and one after the other as the Lord leads. Thank you.